I'd like to talk about foundations. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Absolute Philosophy. I like to talk about foundations. Now, people have foundations under their house. Women wear foundations under their girdles and so forth. And we say that a person has a good foundation when he has a good upbringing. What sort of an upbringing have you had? What sort of family life have you had? And what is your foundation in life? I find it very fascinating. In Nebraska recently, a man had 11 children. And his wife died as she gave birth to the 11th. And the two of them were always able to take care of the family very nicely. And the kids were very good from all ages. And Nebraska just passed a law that if you cannot handle the kids, you can turn them over to the government. And they didn't really mean it that way, but they meant if there was any abuse or anything like that, you can turn it over to the government. But this man, his wife died, and he didn't have a job. He couldn't get a job. And he was taking care of these kids, and he was taking care of the new baby, taking care of everything. And he had 11 kids. One was 18, and all the rest were less. So he decided that he and his wife had raised all the children and done a good job, but without her, since she died, he couldn't do it alone. And so he took the children, all not 10 of them, and turned them over to the government, and he kept the 18-year-old girl at home, but all the rest he turned over to the government. I mean, quite interesting, even the newborn baby. Now, the government found that was unacceptable because he had a responsibility, and his responsibility was to raise those kids. If he has the opportunity to create the children, he should take care of them, you know. And they were not quite happy with that. And then when his relatives found out that he didn't really want to keep the children, they all wanted the children. But he never had come to them and told them that he was having a problem. He never told his relatives that it was difficult for him, for whatever reason. But it's interesting how we have strange foundations. His foundation was that his wife would take care of the kids and he would go out and earn whatever living he could. And obviously, he didn't have a very high opinion of himself, so he didn't have a very good, well-paying job. But when you have no foundation, you don't have anything at all. Now, what is the foundation in virtually every family? Every family has the foundation that says, my family comes first. Yeah? We take care of our own family first. And then whatever we do, we take care of others, but we take care of our own family first. We do not give taking care of our family to someone else. We do it ourselves. We work on it. If we have to struggle along eating beans, we eat beans, but we take care of our own family. Now, in India, there are millions of destitute people who don't have enough money. And so here is this family, and they don't have enough money, enough to eat. This family, they don't have enough to eat. And they're relatives, and they can't help each other because they can't help each other. So one family dies for lack of anything to eat. The other family struggles along. Now, if they had given away the little bit they had, then they wouldn't have survived either. And perhaps that would be just as well, wouldn't it? Now, when you have values, of family, then you would never think of doing a thing like that. What cultural group are very strong in your thought who have the value of the family and would take care of the family and their families under all circumstances? What name?
Mexican.
The Hebrews, the Jews. Now, the Mexicans might do that too. They might. I really don't not that familiar with Mexican culture, but I know that the Hebrew culture does that. And perhaps there are some other Arabic cultures that do that. And perhaps the Spanish and the Mexican culture does it too. But the one that came to my mind by being written up in books and so forth, the Hebrew family always takes care of their own. And another group which comes to mind is my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law, Roger, he married into, he didn't marry into anything. He was a, he was a young man, and he was married. And he joined the Mormon Church, and he became an avid Mormon, very strong. And the Mormons have family above all else. And they all take care of each other's family. They all help each other. They all do things for each other. And they make sure, just like the Amish people, they have that culture too of taking care of their family and their kin. They take care of everybody to make sure that they are, you know, raised properly and given the proper things. And if a man dies and a woman dies, the brother takes over the family. And just no thought about it, you know. Where do the kids go? They go to Uncle Joe. There is no other question. Now, this man who gave up his 10 children, obviously he had no tradition of family. He had no tradition of anything. He just had making kids, you know. And really, it's interesting how many times people who have a smaller income make the larger families. Except when it comes to the Kennedys. The Kennedys had a large family, but they had a large income too. But they were the exception. What is it that we're supposed to do? What is it that we're supposed to do? How do we get foundation? How do we get values? How do we get things in our life that are our guidepost to help us along? Now, there are many people who think that they have the Bible as their guidepost. And as they think they have the Bible as their guidepost, what are they doing? They're still having problems. They're having problems because they think they're their brother's keeper. And as long as you think you're your brother's keeper, you're in trouble. Because that's not what Jesus taught. And so many things that are taught for what Jesus taught and are not really what he taught make the Christian philosophy a bit laborious to work with. Now, if you loved someone, like yourself, for instance, you know, a good place to start. Mm-hmm. If you loved yourself, what would happen to your world? Yes?
All beautiful.
What would happen to your world if you loved yourself?
Creates love.
What?
Love responds with love.
That's right. So if you love yourself, you will love your world.
Yeah.
And you will love your world, and you will love everybody in your world. And you will create in your world people who have good jobs, people who respect their families, people who delight in their family life and in their family way. You're not going to go help them to understand that. You're not going to help them to come through a difficult time with money. You're going to give them the greatest gift that they could ever have. And that's the gift of your love. You're surrounding them, enfolding them, seeing them having all things that make their life a happy life. Now, I know it's so easy, and you are subject to it just like anybody else. You see a person in trouble and you want to give them something. You see a person who needs shoes, and you got plenty of extra shoes, you want to give them extra shoes. Well, that's no good. Because as soon as he runs out of those shoes, then he'll need to find some more. Rather, see that person with a sound responsibility toward life and living, and a good creator, and creating beautiful shoes for himself, you know? Beautiful shoes for his family, beautiful house to live in. Doesn't mean a mansion, but a beautiful house to live in, a beautiful world to live in. You see, ours, in the role that we play, ours in the role that we are of being a master and being in the absolute, we do not allow the negative to enter in. For if we allow the negative to enter in, we empower it, and then we have no foundation upon which to work. Remember the story about the little boy? Jesus told the man who had a withered hand, he said, "Stretch forth your hand." And he stretched forth his hand, and it was healed in that moment. And then Jesus said to the little boy next to him, about 8 years old, he said, "You want to be a healer? You want to work with me?" The little boy said, "Yes, yes, yes, Lord." He said, "All right, I've got to go get a drink of water. Now, you go along the line here on this road, and you go to every leper along the road, and you reach out your hand to every leper and touch them and say, 'You are healed.' And then you go to the next leper and you say, 'You are healed,' to every one of them. And I'll be back in a few minutes." And so Jesus went to get a drink of water, and he met the woman at the well and had all those adventures and stuff. But he came back, and here was the boy standing there, surrounded by a dozen people. And he said to the little boy, "Well, I see you did what I told you to do." He said, "Oh, yes, Jesus, and it was easy." "What do you mean it was easy?" "Every time I'd reach my hand out to somebody, they were whole and perfect, and I didn't have to say anything. I just acknowledged that they were whole and perfect. And everyone, and I don't know what they were before I looked at them, but every time I looked at each person, and here they are, all a dozen of them, and they're all whole and perfect." And then Jesus said, "Were you lepers?" And they said, "No." And then he said to the little boy, "Did you heal them?" And he said, "No, they were healed. I saw them whole and perfect, and they were healed." And Jesus said, "You are my bestest disciple, because you followed what I told you to do. You went to every leper, reached out your hand and said, 'You're whole and perfect.' And before you could reach out your hand, and before you could even look at the person, they were whole and perfect." He said, "Well, I went to the wrong person. I got to go to the next one, the next one, the next one." Pretty soon there were no more people to go to. All the lepers who had been there are whole and perfect. Now, you say, "Well, that's just something that can happen like that." Really? Has it happened in your life? It can. Has it happened in your world? It can. Are you ready to experience this absolute quality of wholeness? Mm-hmm. Well, it all depends on what values you have in life. Now, what values do you have in life? And what are the things that are really important for you? What are the things that really make your life a fulfilled and a wonderful adventure? And as soon as you find out what it is, then that's what you'll have. As soon as you find out what it is that you feel makes your life a fulfilled adventure, what is the foundation that you put beneath your thought? And when you find that out, then you will be fulfilled in every way, because that's the way the principle works. Have a lovely day, and know that you are the absolute. And you have a good foundation now. And it is done by every word you speak. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.